58 and verse number 1 is where we're going to be. Get past the Psalms and just keep turning just a little bit. You'll get to Isaiah. We're going to deal this morning here in Sunday school with the topic of fasting. I have had several people ask questions in recent weeks as I have called and challenged and encouraged the church family to fast for the needs of the church with regards to our court case specifically, that God would intercede for us, that God would show himself strong on behalf of Hunt Valley Baptist Church, and we would get a resolution. And with this idea of asking you to, as a church family, to fast, several people have asked questions, and so I thought it was fitting to deal with it. Now, it seems like it hasn't been that long since I spoke a message on fasting. I mean, it hasn't been that long. This, in fact, is a neglected topic today in a lot of churches. It's neglected so much that people today many times ask, is fasting something that the New Testament Christian should do? It's hard to believe that somebody would actually ask that. A Christian who's been in church for some time would wonder if it's something that we should do. That kind of gives you an idea of how neglected the topic really is. Anyways, I thought, well, it hasn't been that long since I spoke on fasting, so I looked at my notes, and it was actually in 2016. This is the last time I spoke on fasting. So it has been some considerable time since I have given or dedicated a message. Not that I haven't mentioned it or you know, talked about it here or there, but dedicated a message to the topic. And certainly it's something that we as believers, it should be a part of our life. Fasting should be part of the Christian walk. It should be something that we, any true and follower of Christ, any true disciple, should have the practice of fasting as part of his Christian walk. If nothing else, if we didn't have anything else in the New Testament about fasting, if all we had to look at was Christ's testimony, after all, we're Christians. We're supposed to be Christ-like. And if we're going to be like Christ, we could look at Christ, and Christ himself, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, felt it was necessary to fast that he might have victory over the temptations of Satan. And if God himself felt it was necessary to fast, how much more do you and I need to fast? Christ not only gave us his example, but he exhorted the disciples to fast and taught them how to fast. And when asked, why do other people fast and your disciples don't fast? And he says, well, because I'm here. He says, when I'm gone, they'll fast. So clearly it is something for the New Testament believer today to have as a part of their life, fasting. Sometimes I take for granted when I talk about different things that everybody that is listening knows what we're talking about. I take for granted having grown up in church, been in church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every midweek, whether that was Wednesday or Thursday night, just about every week of my life. Things in my mind which are so, you know, I've known them for so long, I take for granted, maybe I think everybody knows and understands. So I have to try and remind myself to maybe give some of the basics. And so just the idea of fasting, some might wonder, what is this practice of fasting that you're talking about, Pastor? And fasting is denying yourself of a physical enjoyment for a period of time that you might focus on a spiritual need. So it could be food. Many times it's food, something that we take in, a fasting of food. We would fast, but it could be something else, and we're going to teach a little bit about that. But denying ourselves, withdrawing from a fleshly appetite, a physical enjoyment, that we may focus on a spiritual need. So look in your text this morning, Isaiah 58, verses 1 through 8, a passage in the Old Testament that deals with fasting. There's many references in the Old Testament to fasting, much teaching on the subject, as well as the New Testament. We are going to be looking in both, but a large part of what we'll be looking at this morning comes from this text. So I want to read this to you. We're going to read verses 1 through verse number 8. You can follow along in the Word of God as we hear Isaiah the prophet being exhorted by God to talk to his people and to give him a message. It opens up with Isaiah being told to cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. You understand that's the job of the pastor, the job of the preacher, somebody that is to preach the Word of God. You say, why do preachers all raise their voice? Why do they get loud and why do they clap their hands and stomp their feet? Because this is the examples given to us in the Word of God. Isaiah the prophet was exhorted here. He says, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Cry aloud. Tell my people. He says, tell them and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. That's the job of the pastor too, to reveal transgression, to use the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit of God speak to the heart about the transgression and the sin of God's people. But in verse number 2, he says, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice, and they take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife, and debate, and to smite with fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou, being the poor that are cast out to thy, bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou not, hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be renewed. So we're going to look at this text and some others as we discuss and look at the idea of fasting this morning. I have a lot of ground to cover, but in answering some of the questions that have been asked of me recently, just to let everybody know here by way of introduction that in the Bible there are three different types of fast. There's a normal, what we would call a normal fast, and that is an abstinence or a withdrawal from food. Food alone. You can still consume drink. You can still have maybe some fruit juices, or you can enjoy water. You can have some type of liquid. You'd have a normal fast would be just abstaining from food for a period of time. Now, food. In Luke chapter 4, verse number 2, Jesus Christ did this, where he said that he did eat nothing. He did eat nothing. So there's nothing in there in the text about Christ abstaining from water or from drink, but from food. He chose to abstain from food for a period of time, but still drank water. This can be abstaining from food for a period of time, could be from one meal. You get to choose how long your fast is. You could just fast for one meal and say, I'm just going to take lunch today. And instead of going to eat lunch, I'm going to take that time and stay in my car and pray and talk to God. Or I'm going to get alone in my office. If you have a place where you can get alone, or if you're still at home, you just say, instead of stopping and going to eat, I'm going to take my lunch today and spend some time in prayer. It could be just one meal. So it could be from one meal, or it could be to 40 days. So people are shaking their head. Nope, not me, not 40 days. Moses fasted for 40 days, and Jesus fasted for 40 days. So anywhere in between there that you choose or would like to fast, you could choose to do that. We see different places in the Scripture. Paul fasted for 3 days. Other people fasted for different lengths of time, but you get to determine that. Let me just throw this out by way of encouragement, maybe keep you from getting discouraged. Let's say you purpose in your heart and you say, I'm going to fast for 3 days this week. And you get to day number two and you're starting to see angels in the sky. You're starting to see visions of the rapture and whatever else coming. You might should probably break your fast. I mean, there's probably a need for you to take some sustenance. Listen, don't feel like you have failed God because you had to break your fast. You fasted for 2 days. Don't you think God recognizes and honors that? God is not the one that said, thou shalt fast for 3 days. You just decided you were going to fast for 3 days. And it's okay if you get two down and find out, hey, I'm not going to be able to make the third one right now. That's all right. You did two. Your heart was in the right place. You were going the right direction. Don't think, oh, this was all a waste. I didn't make it. You did 2 days, amen? So don't worry about maybe not being able to get as far as you were initially planning. The purpose for the fast can still be achieved. And don't let the devil, discourage you and say, well, I just can't do that. I'm not able to fast. You did fast for a number of meals and for a period of time. So don't let that get you discouraged. You have a normal fast, which is an abstinence from what? Food, just food. So an abstinence from food is a normal fast. Then you have what is known as an absolute fast. And obviously this is a abstaining or a withdrawal from all type of substance, of food, of intake. You don't take any liquid. You don't drink juice. You don't drink water. You don't eat food. Nothing goes through the mouth to sustain the body. An absolute fast. Moses did this for 40 days. In Exodus chapter 34, verse number 27 and 28, he says, and the Lord said unto Moses, write these words, for after the tenor of these words have I made a covenant with thee and with Israel. So he went to go and to write down the commandments that were given to him by God. Verse number 28, he says, and he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. Now, this type of an absolute fast was a miraculous event done in and through the power of God. It's not something that you're going to be able to do. An absolute fast for that length of time is physically impossible outside of a miraculous event. They say that the body can go 30 days without food, 3 days without water, and about 8 minutes without air. I don't recommend you have an oxygen fast. But it is something that's necessary. It's something that we enjoy, and that's what fasting is, giving up something that we enjoy. But I don't know that that would be necessarily good. So God wouldn't want you to harm your body in that way. But without eating or drinking, Esther, in Esther chapter 4, verse number 16, fasted for 3 days, didn't take food or water for 3 days. In Deuteronomy 9:9, we see, neither did he eat bread nor drink water. In Deuteronomy 9:18, neither did he eat bread nor drink water. In Exodus 34:28, he did neither eat bread nor drink water. So there's several times in the Scriptures we see the example of an absolute fast, of not eating or drinking anything. And then the third type of fast that we see is a partial fast, a partial fast. This is a type of fast that is a little more tailored to your life, towards what's going on in your life, towards individual needs. A partial fast makes it possible for anybody and everybody to be involved in fasting. There is a fast that's referred to or commonly called a Daniel fast, and this would be a partial fast. The Daniel fast in the book of Daniel, he says that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. And he says that he would not eat pleasant bread. Bread is pleasant, isn't it? Well, bread. I had some banana bread for breakfast. Thank you, Miss Lisa. It was awesome. Very good, banana bread. But you know what? a partial fast, a Daniel fast, or what's called a Daniel fast, would be refraining from meats and breads. You could drink still juices or coffee or whatever, and you could still eat other food, you know, vegetables and fruit and so on. But you, for a period of time, whatever you say, you know, I think I spoke to somebody this week that was, for the month of January, was having a Daniel fast and abstaining from all meats and breads for the month of January. You know, so you could, this is something that you could do for a longer period of time, deciding in your life something. It's something that you enjoy. I enjoy a good steak. It would certainly be a motivation to give up meat for me. I am a meat eater. But something that you enjoy, you say, I'm going to fast from this. Elijah did this on a couple of occasions. Abraham's servant refused to eat meat until he had completed his task of telling, you know, he's out finding a bride for Isaac, and he's going and looking for this bride, and they offered him food, and he says, I can't eat until I tell you what my mission is, what I've come here to do, and then I can eat. I've got to finish this first. So sometimes there's some things in our life that are of utmost importance to us, and we decide, you know what, I'm not going to partake of this until this is settled. And that's what I'm trying to call on the church, that we've got this court case that's overhanging us, it's been with us a long time, and we want to, as a church, together unify in the idea of fasting and praying that we could see God come through on our behalf for a period of time. This makes it possible for some people who, you know, maybe as a diabetic or hypoglycemic, some type of physical thing that would keep them from being able to do an absolute fast or a normal fast, but they could do a partial fast. You know what, it would be, Lisa and I were driving in the car this week, and I said, you know what would be a good fast for me? I'd give up Mountain Dew for a week. And she looked at me, she's like, you would do that? You know, don't drink Mountain Dew for a week. And that's just, it's just something that I enjoy. And I'll tell you what, I drink a can of Mountain Dew for breakfast every morning. And I know you guys are all going to shame me, but listen, if you drink a cup of coffee, then you have nothing to talk to me about. All right? So you get up and you're like, man, you guys come in here and you're like, boy, I need my coffee. Well, I get up in the morning and I walk downstairs to the fridge and I want to open the fridge and I want to get a cold Mountain Dew. The kids keep them in there for me. They do a great job. And that Mountain Dew usually will last me till lunch. I'll start it and I'll drink it. It'll be in my office. I'll have it with me through the morning hours. But I'll tell you what, if I was fasting from that, I'd wake up and, I can't have a Mountain Dew this morning. And why is that? Because I'm fasting for this. It's a motivation. Something that we enjoy. You know, a partial fast, I think we would have some real withdrawal syndromes. I think we would have some real problems. We might have to call some paramedics if we went on a screen fast. If you said, okay, no screen time for a week. No screen time, no TV, no games, no phone, no internet. No screen time for a week. I think we would go crazy, wouldn't we? That would be, you know, it's not something we take in, but it's something we enjoy. And what a fast is it's we withdraw or abstain from the physical enjoyments that we would normally partake of that we might think about spiritual things. And so taking that time, I'll tell you what, if we just took the time that is spent in front of a screen in this room, and we spent that in prayer this next week, wow. That would be some time. That would be some time that we would get a hold of God, and I think as a church we would see God do some things. The bottom line is everybody can participate in fasting in some way, in some level. Regardless of our health concerns, regardless of where we are in life, there's a measure of fasting that we can partake of to put off the physical that we may focus on the spiritual. So let me give you a few points here this morning. What is the reason? What is the reason that we fast? Why do this at all? What is the purpose of denying the physical? It is that we might seek God's face, that we may focus on the spiritual. You understand that it is a call of the Christian that we are to deny ourselves. It's what Christ expects of us. We are to put down the flesh. We're to bring our body under subjection. You understand? The Christian is supposed to control and rule his body, not the other way around. The natural man is controlled by his body. Boy, I want to eat. I want to eat. I'm going to eat. It doesn't matter how much or how good this is for me or whatever it is, I'm going to eat. I just want to eat. Or I enjoy doing this, and I'm just going to do it. I enjoy sleeping, and I'm just going to sleep in. I'm just going to sleep right through my alarm. I'm just going to get all the hours I want. And the natural man is controlled by his body. His body tells him what to do. But the spiritual man controls his body and tells his body what to do. So the exercise of fasting is a spiritual discipline where we bring our body into subjection and tell our body, no, you're not going to eat today. No, you're not going to partake of that enjoyment today, that you can focus on spiritual things. It shows faith in God. Why else would we inflict this kind of pain upon ourselves? I'll tell you what, if you've been fasting the last couple weeks, if we talked about it, if you've taken a period of time and done that, your body cries out. Your body says, I'm hungry. I need some food. I'm starving. It shows faith in God, saying, I'm doing this because I want to get a hold of God, because I want to see God answer prayer. And this is an exercise that displays faith, understanding we're doing this because we believe that it makes a difference and that God honors it. In Ezra and Nehemiah, they fasted and besought God to get a hold of God. They fasted, they prayed to have God meet the needs there. It moves us to prayer. I mean, with every growl of your tummy, with every pull of the desire to go to the fridge and get a Mountain Dew, with every pull to sit in front of that screen or to look at this or to enjoy that or partake of that physical enjoyment, with every desire that when that pops back up, it prompts you to turn your heart towards prayer. To once again be reminded of that need, and God, would you please give us victory in this case. Dear God, would you work? Would you show yourself strong? Dear God, would you be glorified in seeing this come through? Lord, we're asking of you. And with every physical draw, we're drawn closer to Christ. In Chronicles chapter 20, verses 3 and 4, he says, And Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek God. Second Chronicles. It's a spiritual cleanser. It's a spiritual cleanser. Fasting is a spiritual cleanser. Reasons to do this. Why we do this. It motivates you to get clean before God. There are many physical benefits to fasting. Matter of fact, I have a book in my office that the entire book is written by a doctor. And he's not a Christian at all. But his claim is that if you want to live a long life and want to be healthy, then fast. Because it's a natural cleanser for the body. There are physical benefits, but the physical benefits are not the motivation. I'll tell you what, it's a great weight loss program. You know what? I can guarantee you, if you don't eat, you'll lose weight. I can guarantee you. Some people say, man, I just can't lose weight. I tried a bunch of diets and they just don't work for me. Try fasting. You don't eat. You see, what happens is your body initially just starts just getting really hungry, starts desiring food and expects you to feed it, right? But when you don't begin to feed it, then the body begins to feed on the excess fat. The body itself begins to eat away and begin to sustain itself off all the storage that we have. So that's what happens. Guarantee you it's a weight loss program, although that should not be the motivation for our fast. What we're talking about is getting a hold of God, and you get some physical benefits of it, and they're even listed in our text here. There's a discussion here about the health benefits of it. But that's not a motivation. Fasting is a time when we let go of the physical that we may focus on the spiritual. There's Bible reasons for fasting. There's lots of different Bible reasons. You look through the scriptures and they fasted for their nation. They fasted for when as a nation they were afraid and were, you know, needed God to come on the scene. They fasted for individual problems. They fasted for health. There's a lot of different reasons we could look in individually, but in our text there are several. We'll give you just these this morning. Look in Isaiah 58, verse number 6. We see that first of all, we fast to be freed from the bands of wickedness. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness? I'll tell you what, you're having a hard time overcoming or getting through, or getting past a sin in your life. You've got a besetting sin you just can't get victory over. Try fasting. You see, it's a discipline when we bring our body under, when we physically say, no, you're not going to do this. You are developing spiritual muscles. And then when you have that besetting sin that is drawing on you physically to the flesh, you're able to say with the spirit and the power of God and the muscles that you developed in fasting to say no to that. It'll break the bands of wickedness that are around you. So a motivation, a reason for fasting is to break the bands of wickedness. It also is frees us from burdens. Really, anywhere in the scripture, ultimately what it boils down to is a burden. You're burdened about getting past sin. You're burdened about others. You're burdened about a situation. You're burdened about what's going on, the court case. And you're free. He says to undo the heavy burdens. You want to be freed from a burden? Commit it to fasting. Commit it to fasting. Begin to fast and pray. And again, we talked about the time frames. And you know, it can be one meal. It could be one day. It could be a 24-hour period. It could be 36 hours. Whatever you decide, you're the one in control of this. But it ought to be part of the Christian's life when we're dealing with things that we fast and pray. He also says we can be free from bondage. He says, and to let the oppressed go free. Freed from bondage, I liken this to salvation. Freed from the hold that Satan has on us. You got somebody that you're burdened about their salvation? Somebody you love and care about that's not saved yet? You want to free them from the bondage of Satan to the freedom they can have and enjoyment in Jesus Christ? Maybe that you need to commit it to fasting. Begin fasting on a regular basis and a consistent time, you know, for them. Because that's a motivation here. It's what comes about from fasting. You get freed. Let the oppressed go free. You're free from bad decisions. Isaiah 58, verse number 8, he says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. You know, light gives us direction. Light allows us to see where we're going. God gives us light through the Word of God, and we understand that the Scriptures are a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And this fasting gives light. You having a hard time making a decision? You got an important decision you need to make in your life? Maybe you need to fast. Get some light from God on it. Say, boy, this is a really important thing. I really need to know what to do here. Well, let's commit it to fasting. Fast and pray over this. It keeps you from bad decisions. It also keeps you from bad health. We see here in verse number 8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Their health is going to spring forth speedily. You know, there are health benefits. And you get that personally, a health benefit, but also maybe somebody that you're praying for is in a bad way physically. And they need prayer to see God heal them. He is the great physician. He can do miraculous things. And maybe if we're really serious about seeing that happen, we can fast to see God bring about that, free them from this bad health. So what are the requirements? What are the requirements for fasting? We looked at the reason here, the requirements for fasting. In Matthew 6, another very familiar passage with regards to fasting, Matthew 6, verse 16 through 18, he says, "Moreover, when you fast," again, establishing the precedent that there's times that Christians will be fasting, he says, "but not as the be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast." The requirement is that we do it unto God and not unto men. He says, hey, in a minute we're going to look at the rewards for fasting, but he says, listen, if you're doing this as unto men, if you're doing it before men, then ye have your reward. What an empty and shallow reward is that? To be honest, they don't even care that you're fasting. And you've got your reward that you told somebody, boy, I am spiritual. I was fasting this week for however long, whatever it was. Listen, the requirement is that we do it as unto God and not before men. He says here, don't be of a sad countenance. All of these things dealing with so that men don't notice that you're fasting. Have you ever been around somebody and they were, obviously something was wrong, and they just kept carrying themselves in such a way that you knew they were waiting for you to ask, what's wrong? You know, what's wrong? What happened? You know, oh, I stubbed my toe, or oh, I've been sick all day, or whatever. What Christ is saying here is just don't carry yourself in such a way that people will wonder, what's wrong with him? Are you feeling okay today? Yeah, I just, you know, I'm fasting right now. And so, hey, we're not supposed to be like that. You're supposed to carry on as normal. He says here in the text, he says, when thou fast, anoint thy head and wash thy face. You see, it was a normal practice when they would go to eat that they would stop and wash. He's saying, go about your normal day. You could do what you would normally do. Don't make it as this big thing before everybody, but do it before God. In Luke chapter 18, verse number 12, he says, don't boast of your fasting. Don't boast of your fasting. So we're to do it before God. We're to do it in secret. And then we're to be real. You know, it does no good to fast and have our hearts full of wickedness. That's what we're dealing with in this passage of Scripture here. In chapter 58, verses 1 and 2, he says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression. God's people were living in sin. They were practicing great wickedness. God called Isaiah and said, go tell them that they're in sin, that they're doing wrong. And he said, they say in verse number 2, he says, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation they did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. In verse number 3, he says, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? They're saying, God, we've been fasting, and it's like you don't even see it. We've been fasting, and you're not even taking any notice of it. And all the while, they've got hearts that are wicked before God. Do you understand? It does no good for us to fast a meal when our hearts are full of sin. When we know we're not right with God, when we know we're harboring wickedness, we can't just compartmentalize. How do you say that? Yeah, you can't do that. You can't just put all your sin over here and say, okay, God, we're not going to look at that right now. We're just going to fast that you answer this prayer for me because I need direction. I need to know what to do in this situation. And you're like, man, God's just not giving me direction. God's not just not answering this prayer. And all the while, there's all this sin over here that's not taken care of. God said that if you come to the altar and you want to pray, and you've got aught with your brother, what does he say? He says, get up and go get that fixed first. It doesn't change when we're talking about fasting. When there's sin in the heart, when there's a problem in our life, and we know we're not right with God, we're not going to see the results from fasting, the rewards that we want to see, until we get right with God. So that is a requirement. that we be right with God, that we be real in order to see the results that we desire. Then let me give you the rewards. We're just about done and we're just about out of time. The rewards. Matthew 6, verse number 18, he says, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret. Does anybody know what the last four words are? Shall reward thee openly. There's rewards for fasting. The reward, I mean, the greatest reward, I think, is an answer to your prayer. To see the need that you're praying for met. To have the direction you're looking for. To have that person healed. To see the lost loved one come to salvation. To have the court case settled. Ultimately, I mean, that, I believe, is the greatest reward for us as individuals, that God would do that for us. And there is that reward because God honors fasting. There's also a reward spiritually for us, where we grow spiritually through the practice of fasting. And although we don't fast before men, what does he say? He says, when you do this in secret, God rewards thee openly. Look in our text here in Isaiah 58, verse number 8. He says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Your righteousness is going to go before you. Your testimony before man is going to be magnified. God's going to use your testimony for the honor and the glory of God. The glory of the Lord is going to be your reward. And what a privilege to be used to bring honor and glory to God. Amen? It's not something that we seek. We're seeking God, and it may be for a need in our life, and what an amazing thing to see that need met. But in seeing that need met and in practicing fasting in our lives, God honors you. And your reward is to bring honor and glory to Him. When we get serious enough to deny ourselves of the physical, it's amazing what God does in the spiritual. Andrew Murray said this, prayer is reaching for the unseen. Fasting is letting go of the seen. Fasting expresses, deepens, and confirms the resolution that we are ready to sacrifice anything, even ourselves, to attain that for which we seek the kingdom of God for. Fasting. Now listen, as we wrap up here, God doesn't expect anybody to run who hasn't been walking. God doesn't expect anybody to walk who hasn't been crawling. He talks about the babes in the faith that desire the sincere milk of the Word. And he understands, the Apostle Paul said, hey, you're not ready for meat yet. So the question here this morning for you individually is, how far have you gone for God? God doesn't expect you to try and fast 7 days next week if you've never fasted in your life. Listen, if you don't even spend a consistent time in prayer on a daily basis, maybe you need to start there. Just start spending some time in prayer. Say, you know what, I'm going to spend some time in prayer every day this week. Wherever you are, you can get involved at your level. God does not expect you to fast for 40 days. God doesn't expect you to fast for 24 hours. You pray in your heart and say, God, what can I do? And you walk before you run. How far have you gone for God? Wherever you're at in your life, say, oh, I could take this step. I could do this for God. And listen, God is not as concerned with where you're at as with where you're going. Wherever you are right now in your life, take a step for Him and say, I've never fasted before, but you know what? I'm going to fast one meal this week. I can do one meal. Don't try and fast for 4 days if you have never fasted before. just take a step from where you're at towards God. And I believe God would be honored, and we would see God do some great things in our church. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we come to you this morning, and we're grateful, God, for your word. We're grateful, God, for the challenge this morning to fast. Lord, I pray you would help us as believers not to neglect this great tool that we have in our lives to bring us into your presence. And Lord, I ask you to be with us as a church as we're committing to fast on a consistent basis until we see you bring a resolution to this case with regards to the property, that you would draw us closer to you and reward with the answer that we're asking for. We ask in just all this morning in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.